Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Yevama Islamates. We are actually on Lamed Chesamet, base 2 lines from the bottom. So it's the second to the last word on the second to the last line. Abaye Omar, getting back to the Mishnah, where we had a discussion regarding the Nechasim, the properties, the assets of a Shemeres Yavam, an Isha awaiting the Yibum process. Who has claims to those properties? Now, if she's a married woman, those properties are considered jointly owned, so to speak, by the husband and wife. The actual property belongs to her. But a Baal has a zechus in the nichsei melug, that's what it's called, the nichsei melug of his wife. He can enjoy the fruit, he can benefit, residual benefits, the peiros of that karka. But here we're not speaking about a husband-wife relationship. It's a yavam-yavami relationship. She's just awaiting yivam. Who owns those properties? Now, in the first part of the Mishnah, it was clear that she is considered the sole owner of the property. Whereas in the second part of the Mishnah, well, according to Beis Hillel, she is the sole owner, but according to Beis Shammai, it's not so simple. We consider it a suffix. It's a case where she passed away, and now there's a struggle between her family and the husband's family, who gets the rights to those properties. What do Beis Shammai say? Yach loiku. Split it down the middle. Why is there that difference in halacha between the reisha of the Mishnah, where it's hers, and the seifa, where there's a whole discussion? In yesterday's daf, we had two pshatim. Ulo gave a pshat. Rabba proposed another pshat. Here come another two pshatim from Abaye and Rava. Abaye Amar. You know why in the reisha it is hers, and in the seifa it's a question? Different circumstance. Reisha, the naflu lo kishir shemeres yavam. In the reisha, she obtained, she acquired the nechasim while she was already awaiting yibam. Seifa, the naflu lo kishir tachto the baal. The seifa is discussing a case where she acquired those properties when she was still married to the former husband, Reuven, who passed away without children. In that case, since she received these properties while still under the care of her husband, her husband has a greater zchus than her. He's considered the primary owner because he enjoys the pair. He's considered the sort of the owner at that point, and now that carries over to the yavam. So after Reuven passes away, his zechusim carry over to the yavam. And that's why in the Sefer, at least Beis Shammai, consider these properties to be partially in possession of the husband's family. But in the Reisha, she only got it when she was already in her current estate, a Shemeres Yavam, unmarried. In which case, there was no husband yet on the scene to have zechus in this karka. Therefore we say, between her and the Yavam, it's certainly hers. V'kasavar Abaye, yada ki yada. Abaye holds that according to Beis Hillel, right, Beis Hillel, who the ones who say that even in the Sefer, it is considered hers, because Abaye holds that according to Beis Hillel, even a married woman who acquires nechasim, his rights are equal to hers. They both have equal rights to the nechasim. As far as ownership, as far as balas, we treat the husband and wife equally. No one is superior to the other. That's by a husband-wife relationship. Certainly, of course, if the husband passes away and there's only a yavam, his status goes down a notch. And she actually sort of takes hold of the nechasim, because he's only a yavam before yibum. And that's why a Beis Hillel hold that even in the second part of the Mishnah, where she acquired those properties while still married to Reuven, the former husband, even in that case, once he passes away and she's faced with a Yavam, she is considered the primary owner. That's Beis Hillel, but Beis Shammai disagree. They hold that when it's a husband and wife, he is considered superior to her. He has greater rights, so to speak. It's a discussion in the Gemara and Ksuvas, but that's the summation of that sugya. So since he has greater rights than her, fine, now he's gone, and we have a yavam. So at least it equalizes. It goes down a notch, it goes from superior to equal. That explains why, according to Beis Shammai, we say yachliku. So again, according to Abaye, why is it that in the Reisha, it's completely hers? Because she got it when she was a yavama, and not under her husband's care. Whereas in the Seifa, she acquired these nechasim while still married to Reuven. So that zchus sort of gets transferred to Shimon the Yavam. Therefore, Beis Shammai hold yachliku. Amalei Rava. The Baal, Rava disagrees. He says, if indeed we're speaking that she acquired these nechasim while still married to Reuven, to kuli amalei pligi, everybody would agree. There wouldn't be any machlokes. Even Beis Hillel would agree that you would split them now. The yadai, because the yad, the claim, the balos, the possession of the baal, of husband, is adif miyad, is greater than hers. He has greater power than her while married. And now that he's gone, and there's a yavam, so it equalizes. It goes down a notch. And you would say 50-50, yachleiku. There wouldn't be a machleikus. Rava disagrees. Ela idivi idi dinaf lokishi shemeres yavam. Rather, says Rava, in both cases of the Mishnah, they're both identical cases in terms of when she acquired those nechasim. When she was a yavama, awaiting yibam. So what's the difference? Why is it that in the Reisha, it's hers, and in the Seifa, according to Beis Shammai, there's a machlekes. We make yachlek, we split it. Reisha deloy ovad b'mamar. Oh, let's pull out the mamar option. In the Reisha, there was no mamar done between herself and Yavam. She's on her own. So it's hers. Seifa d'avad b'mamar. In the last case of the Mishnah, Shimon had done the mamar process. He was mekadesh the Yavama, which sort of makes some sort of connection, although not yibum, but some sort of connection. Because Sava Rava, Rava holds that Mamar le Beis Shammai oise vada yerusa v'safek nesua. Rava holds that according to Beis Shammai, who hold that Mamar is considered a legal acquisition, is considered a kinyan min hatorah, even for Yavama, to what extent? We equate it to an engaged Isha, an arusa. And when it comes to the question of Nisuin, you know, the second step marriage, it's a suffix. We're not sure. What does he mean? Vade Arusa, considered like certainly engaged, Litchois Bitzara, because it pushes aside the companion woman, the other wife there. There are two Yavamis from the same family. Once you do, we're speaking about two brothers here, and what happened was, two brothers married to two sisters. This is back in the Chavtes. Two brothers married to two sisters. And there was actually a third fellow there as well. Right? Married to a non-sister. Reuben, who was married to Rachel, passes away. And Levi did Ma'amar. He wasn't Miyabim Rachel, Reuben's wife. He did Ma'amar. And now Shimon passes away, leaving behind his wife, Leah, who's a sister of Rachel. What do we do? Beis Shammai say, no worries. Levi is deemed married to Rachel because of the Mamar. So Mamar commits him to this woman. It designates her as his wife, makes a sort of a kinyan, and now she's his wife. So the other one, Leah, is a chayishan, not going to interfere with Rachel. So it makes a vadei arusa, litchos b'tzara, to push away the tzara. That's one aspect of Mamar. It accomplishes that. Number two, v'safek nesua. It accomplishes a suffix with respect to treating it like an actual marriage. Pertaining to what? Lachlik bin nechasim. Our question. There are nechasim here. Right? She's claiming rights. He's claiming rights. So the mamar process makes a sort of a suffix nesuin. We treat it like a suffix marriage and we go 50-50. So we have two new pshatim in the Mishnah. Why is it that in the Reisha, it's her nechasim, and the Seifa, at least according to Beis Shammai, we're not sure. Abai says, in the Reisha, she got it as a Shemeres Yom. In the Sefer, she got it when she was already married to Reuven. And now it sort of gets transferred to Shimon the Yavam. So that's the basis of Beis Shammai Shita to consider. The Nechasim, in the second part of the Mishnah, to be partially his. Rava says, in the Reisha, there was no Mamar. She's on her own. In the Sefer, there was Mamar. She's connected to him, at least somewhat. It creates that suffix nesuin, and therefore we go 50-50. Itmar mishmei de Rabbi Lazar kavasei de Rav. We learned that Rabbi Lazar follows Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah. Itmar mishmei de Rabbi Yisrael b'chanina kavasei de Abaye. And it was said in the name of Rabbi Yisrael b'chanina that he interpreted the Mishnah like Abaye. So Rabbi Lazar followed Rava using the Mamar option. Umi yamar Rabbi Lazar hachi. Can it be that Rabbi Lazar would follow Rava's interpretation, treating Mamar like some sort of Kenyan? V'ha'amar Belezer, he himself told us way back over there in the Chavtes, that even going to Beis Shammai, Mamar is no great shakes. Mamar le'Beis Shammai eino kaina ela litchais b'tzara v'levad. All Mamar does is to push away the tzara. It doesn't create something positive between the Yavam and the Yavama. Eifach, let's switch around the names. Rav Lezer was following Abaye's pshat, and Rabbi Yisrael Chanina was following Rav's pshat. But you say another pshat. You don't have to switch around the names. Omalach Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer responds as follows: Ki amri ano de leisagila beget. When I said that mamar has a very limited effect with respect to get, just because he did mamar to the yivama, she's still considered a yivama. She doesn't lose that status and attains the status of an ordinary wife. No, if you want to separate. Get is not enough. You have to do chalitza. El de boy nami chalitza. That's what I meant. Lachlik benachosim de la economy amri. Did I ever say that mamar can't accomplish some sort of kinyan which would give him rights to the nachosim? I haven't discussed that. Certainly, mamar can do that as well. Amar papa. The yukad masnisen kavasei d'abay. The wording in our Mishnah indicates that Abaye's approach is the correct one. Although we will still be left with the kashya, why did we mention that the Yavama died? What does he mean? Where is the diyuk in the lashon? Like Abaye. In the second part of the Mishnah, we describe these properties as nechasim, assets that are nichnas, that are coming in and going out with her. Now remember, Abaye said that in the Sefer, she got these nechasim while married. And that's why the Mishnah calls it nechnasim v'yotzim. My nechnasim and my yotzim. What do you mean it goes in and out? To who? To where? Lav nechnasim l'rishus habal. Apparently, it means it's entering the domain and possession of her husband, who she's married to. V'yotzim m'rishus habal l'rishus av. And after his death, they come out of his possession and go back to the father's possession. Clearly, we're speaking about nechasim that were in her possession while she was married. And that's in line with Abaye's approach to the Mishnah. But we still have a kasha v'afagav, the kasha mesa. But according to Abaye, why did the Mishnah have to switch tracks? We begin by discussing a yavama who's alive, and then we switch to a yavama who passed away. Ademiflagi begufa. Instead of discussing the actual property, Ula Achar Misa, after her death, her family wants it, his family wants it, why discuss a case of La Achar Misa? Why is that pertinent to the discussion? For the same money, they could have discussed a question of Paris when she's alive. Liflugu b'chaya ula Paris. What to do with the Paris of these fields while she's alive? According to Abaye, the switchover between Reisha and Sefer is unrelated to being alive or not. Rather, it's a question of when she acquired those properties, while still married or not. So why did the Mishnah have to even make mention of Misa? Now, Tosfos points out, of course, there's only a kasha on Abaye, because according to Rava, we understand why it's Dafka Lachar Misa, the Mamar only accomplishes what's meant to do after she passed away, and he goes into a whole explanation to explain that. In any case, the deek of the Mishnah is mashmalak abayit, the loshen nechnasim beyotzim, even though we still have a kasha, v'sulei midi, let's just leave it alone. Rashi says, vadai, the Mishnah does present itself like abayit. Continues the Gemara, kanso, harei ki ishtel chol tavra. So we end the Mishnah with this phrase, with this halacha. Once you marry, after you even, she's like your ordinary wife. What's the ramifications of this? Amar Rabbi Chanina, loymar. This tells us shemegar shebeget. Suppose he wants to separate after the yibam. Chalitza is not applicable. You need a regular get. She's a regular isha. Umachzira. Likewise, if he wants to remarry after divorce, he can do that. She's a regular wife. Asks the Gemara, what's the chiddush? Megar shebeget, that he can use a get. Pshita, of course. Why would you think otherwise? Answers the Gemara, salka da dechamina, because I would say perhaps, hoil beksiv, the pasuk says, lokocha le isha v'yibma. Take her in as a wife. And then it says, v'yibma. Perhaps that indicates that, Omar Achmona, right? That's the pasuk. V'adayin yibume yarishayna le'a. That even after marriage, she's still considered a yivama. Bechalitza in, you need to use chalitza beget lo. You can't use a get. Kamashman, the chiddush is no. It's not so. The second halacha, machziro. He can remarry after divorce. Pshita, why not? Saka that dechamina. There will be room to say, that's aser. Mitzvah the Ram Yerachman alay avda. The mitzvah that Torah applied to him was already accomplished. He did his job. He did his yibum. Hashta now, once it's done, take him alay be'isur eshas ach. Perhaps she's considered an erva, brother's wife. There's a special heter for the mitzvah, but not past the mitzvah. Kamashmon, the chiddush is no. Once married, always married. Ve'imah chenami, how do you know? Amakra, because the pasuk says lekocha leisha. Leisha tells you kiven shalakha, once he acquired her, hareik ishtel chaldover, she's considered his wife, pertaining to all the halachas. One exception is ubavat she takes suvasa al nichsei balarishan, the ksuva payout upon him divorcing her or his death is paid out from Reuven, the first husband's properties. Which basically means that, in contrast to the ordinary, conventional setup between husband and wife, where all his properties are bound, there's a lien on all his properties from which she can take her ksuva money upon divorce or death. Here, it's Reuven's properties which are bound to her ksuva. My time, how do we know this? Why? Why is this different? The answer is, Isha hiknu lehim ha-shamayim. This Yivama wasn't his own personal self-acquisition. It came down from heaven, from Hashem. And therefore, he's not obligated to her ksuva. Rather, we use his brother's money. And Rav Hashem explained that he's pretty much taking over for his brother. He's just picking up his brother's obligation. He's carrying over. It's getting transferred to him, so it's pretty much his brother's obligation. Therefore, his brother's properties abound to the ksuva payments. But, let's say there are no properties from his brother. If she can't collect from the brother, the first fellow, tekinu lamisheni, certainly the chachamu masakin that she can collect from Shimon, kadesh loyte kala be'enav loyitziya. Because if he's not committed to her financially, lack of commitment, lack of responsibility, weakens the relationship. It's not a proper relationship between man and woman, between husband and wife. You can divorce her easily. That's not the way it's meant to be. So if there's no access to nechasim from Reuven, certainly Shimon has to step up to the plate and commit his own nechasim for her ksuva. Now, who is meant to do yibam? Says the Mishnah, ideally it should be the oldest brother, either the bechor or the oldest brother. Mitzvah b'gadol yabim. Loi ratza. If he refuses the offer, what do we do? Mahalchen al kala achen. We go down the line. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Loi ratzu. They all turn us down. Chayzrin etzel gadol. We go back to the oldest one. Vayim rimloin, they tell him like this. Alecha mitzvah. You know, the mitzvah rests on you. Oy chalitz, oy yabem. You have a choice. Fine. No yibam. At least do chalitz. Let's say tola bekatan achi yagdol. He says, look, leave me out of it right now. There's a brother here who's going to grow up soon, and maybe he'll decide to do the yibam. Wait for him. Or, they say, look, let's wait for the oldest brother, Ashiyavai Mimdina Sayam, until he comes back from China. Let's see what he's up to. Let's wait around for the older brother. Let's wait for the Cherish, you know, deaf mute, or the deranged fellow to perhaps heal, and maybe he'll be a good Yibum candidate. We don't listen to this. We tell him, don't cop out. It's your mitzvah. Make a decision, either chalitza or yibum. Itma, we learned. Bias katan. You have a choice between a younger brother doing yibum properly, right? Yeah, yibum is the ideal. V'chalitza's gadol versus the older brother who's willing to do chalitza. So you're faced with this equation. On the one hand, the oldest brother, that's the ideal. But he's offering chalitza. That's on one hand. On the other hand, you have the katan offering beer, offering proper yibum, but he's a younger brother. We're not speaking his other bar mitzvah. Katan just means relative to the older brother. Which way do you go? Which element stands higher? Seniority, or the fact that the younger one is offering the preferred option of yibum? Of course, it's a machlek. Pligi bar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shulman Leib. Chad Amar once says, "Bias katan adifa, go with the younger one." V'chad Amar chalitza is gadol adifa, go with the older one. Man Amar bias katan adifa, why would you go with the younger one? Very pasha, the hamitzvah be yibum. Yibum is the preferred option, and that stands higher than gadlus, than seniority. Man Amar chalitza is gadol adifa, the other one who says, "Go to the older one for chalitza," because b'makim gadol. Relative to the older one, bias katan lav klumi. You don't give value to the bia of the katan. It's lacking value because it's done by the katan. Let's remember the point of yibum is to perpetuate the legacy, continue the mishpacha of the deceased fellow. And this chiyuv is incumbent upon his family with whom he shares a father. It's the ikar mishpacha, and the oldest one, you know, is like the patriarch of the family. He's like almost like the father. In fact, there's kibud of aim for the oldest brother, for the older brothers. Right, so we have the b'chur on top, and then we go down the list. As you go down, it's seniority in the family. So each one has an obligation. Right, starting from the top, who has the biggest obligation to sort of continue the mishpacha. He's the head of the family. If not him, at least the next one, and so on and so forth. So when you're faced with a choice, go with the younger one who's offering bia, but the older one is doing chalitza, says this shita, go with the older one, despite the fact that he's offering an inferior option here. Okay, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Tanan. What does the Mishnah say? You approach the gadol, he refuses. Loi ratza. Machzirin akala achan. You go down the line, you make your rounds to all the brothers. My love, should we not assume the words loi ratza means liyabim? He refused yibam, ela lachlitz. He certainly was willing to do chalitza. So let's go down the line. Reuven, Shimon, Reuven, the oldest one, didn't want to do yibam. He offered chalitza. Okay, we said, look, wait around. We'll see what else we can come up with. Uktani malchen atzala achin. Mishnah clearly says, we prefer a younger brother doing yibam versus the older brother doing chalitza. Look, we go down to the rest of the family. Shema mino, isn't this a right that bias katan adifa, the younger bias better? Loi, that's not the case. When it says Le Ratza, the oldest one refused. What did he refuse? Le Ratza Lachlitz V'loi Liyabim. He turned us down on both accounts. No Yibim, no Chalitza. Go to the next guy. Okay. So we went down the line, and it turns out that nobody wanted the Gavasa Gabi Achan. When the Mishnah employs a similar language with respect to the other brothers, loy ratza, what does that mean? Let's assume it mirrors the language of the Reisha. Loy lachlitz, loy liyabim. They too turned us down on both accounts. No yibim, no chalitz. What does the mission say? Go back to the older one. Amay chaytzim etzel gadol. So why are you going back to the older one? He's not offering any better than the other brothers. Nobody's interested, right? Lumechfay. The point is to go force him, right? Is that why you're going back there? Once you're forcing, just stick to the one that you're dealing with and force him. Why do you have to trouble yourself to go back and summon the older brother back to Bezdin and force him to do one or the other? Once you're forcing, just force the one that you're holding with, the younger one. So the whole Mishnah is sort of questionable. It's problematic. How do we understand the Mishnah? The Gemara at this point figured that if the oldest one is not willing to do anything, then we certainly don't force him to do chalitza rather than allow the younger one to do chalitza willingly. That's what the Gemara figures at this point. That's why we went down the line. And now that everybody turned us down, we're trying to force. What's the difference who you're forcing? The fact that the older one is considered better? Well, that's not a reason to dafka force him. Right? You be matriach the bezin, Rashi says. It's not such an important factor once it's, in any case, his chalitza versus his chalitza. Says the Gemara, no. Exactly that. The chalitza of a gadol is better than the chalitza of a katan. And kivan, the mitzvah, le didei ramyo, le didei kafinan. It is enough of a factor to trouble ourselves, to go back to him, to the gadol, and force him to do the chalitza. Okay, so in any case, there's no raya from the Mishnah, one way or the other, pertaining to our shaila. Initially, the Gemara figured that the older one was willing to do chalitza, and the fact that we went to look for another option, a yibum option by the younger one, indicated that yibum of a younger one is preferred to the chalitza of the older one. No, that's not what we're speaking about. The older fellow refused on all accounts. No yibum or chalitza. That's why we went looking. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that once we're going to have to force, right? If everybody's turning us down, now we'll go back to the older one. But as long as somebody was willing to do something willingly, then we were just going to accept anything. And if the older one turned us down on both accounts, at that point, of course, we can't force him, because then we have no right to force him if there's somebody else willing to do something. Anything. We'll accept anything at that point. But once everybody turned us down, the Gemara, the Hava Mina figured, okay, but then why would you still go back? Why do you have to, once you're forcing, what's the difference who you're forcing? He says, no. Even when it comes to forcing, we're going to dafka force the older one. We have a right to do that. And that's why the Mishnah says we go back to the older one first chalitza. So now, let's bring another right from the Mishnah. Tola b'kata nashi yagdu. So the older one says, look, leave me out of it. There's a young brother here growing up. So let's see what he has in mind. Perhaps he'll do the yibum. Ein shemilai, we don't listen to this. We insist that he does it. V'ibiyas katan adifa. What do you mean? If the katan has the potential to be a miyabim, a bia of a katan is better than chalitza of the gadol. Amayin shemilai, why do we ignore this plea? Ninter dilma gadol umiyabim. Let's wait it out. Maybe the youngster will grow up. He'll decide to do the yibum, and yibum of a katan, of a younger brother, is superior to chalitza of the older one. Now, by the way, of course, over here when we say tala b'katan, waiting for the katan to grow up, we're speaking about a katan mamish. He's below bar mitzvah. Let's wait for him. If yibum of a younger brother is better than chalitza of the older one, apparently it's not, right? According to your kasha. What about the next halach? The younger ones are saying, look, let's wait for the older brother to come back from his trip. We don't listen to them. Am I? Why not? What's the logic there? Ninter, let's wait. Maybe he'll come back and do the chalitza. Chalitza of a gadol is better. Right? Chalitza of a gadol is certainly better than what the ketanim are doing. Ella, there must be another reason for this halach. We never procrastinate. We don't delay the fulfillment of a mitzvah. We take what we have now, we choose the best option, and we go for it. By the way, some place can bring a ride from here, that the concept of zrizus and going right into it stands higher than you know, the hider mitzvah. So if you would wait around, you can do it better? No. Catch the moment, seize the opportunity, even though it's not being done in the most preferred, optimal way. Okay, so we didn't have a raya one way or the other to this machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Well, what's considered superior? Bias katan or chalitza as katan? Says the Gemara. Ikud de'amri. There's another version of this machlekes. But bia kuli amali pligi. When it comes to yibum, actually bia, all agree. The bias katan adifa, of course. Bias katan stands higher than chalitza as gadol, because bia is the most preferred option. Ki pligi. The machlekes is only bechalitza as katan, and the chalitza as gadol on the other side. So two types of chalitza, katan or gadol, which one stands higher? Vachi itman, we learned as follows. You're faced with the question of chalitza's katan versus the chalitza's gadol. Pligiba, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi. You have a choice between the chalitza of the katan or the gadol. Which one do you take? Chad omar chalitza's gadol adifa, you prefer the gadol. Chad omar, the other one says, ki adol deninu. They're both on equal footing. There's no preference to one over the other. Explains the Gemara why. Why would you prefer the older one? The hamitzvah begadol, because the old one is meant to do the mitzvah siyibum. The opposing view holds no. Ki amrina mitzvah begadol. When do we say the gadol takes preference? The inyan yibum. When it comes to yibum, avol inyan chalitza. He's only doing chalitza. Katan denenu. What difference does it make whether it's the gadol or the katan? Okay. So now let's go back to the Mishnah for rayas. Mishnah says lo ratzu. So the oldest one turned us down. We went down the line and they also turned us down. We go back to the older one. My love. Should we not assume when it says Leiratsu, it means Leiratsu liyabim? It turned us down with respect to Yibam. Elalachis, they offered Chalitza, but no Yibam. What does the mission say? We don't accept their offer. Uktani, Chayzrin, it's a God, we go back to the older one. What does this prove to us? That even with respect to Chalitza, the Gadol has priority. Ushma mino Chalitza is Gadol Adifa. No, says the Gemara. When it says Leiratsu, it means Leilachlitz. Everybody turned us down. The older one, the younger ones, no chalitza, no yibum. So we're left with no choice but to go back to the older one and give him that ultimatum. Look, it's your job. Okay, the Gavah, say Gavah Gadol. Likewise, when the mission says we go back to the Gadol, when we started initially with the Gadol, it says Leiratsa. Right, initially, we approached the Gadol. Leiratsa, what does that mean? Let's assume a definition of Leiratsa here is consistent with the Leiratsa later on. It means Leilachlitz, Leilachlitz. The Gadol refused on both accounts. So he turned us down completely. His younger brothers followed suit. Elamai Chayzunetz the Gadol. So why go back to the Gadol? Lemechvay, to force him? Lechvay, to do? Force them? What's the point of forcing the gadol over the katan? Says the Gemara, yes, because he's the gadol. Kiven the mitzvah alei de day ramya. He's the ikar, primary bar mitzvah. He should be doing the yibum achalitza. The day kafinan, we trouble ourselves to go back to him and force him to do at least the chalitza. Tashma, let's bring a raya. Tal the gadol ashiyavim dinas hayam. So the young one says, look, let's wait for the older brother to come back. Ain't shamila, we don't listen to him. Chalitza's gadol adifa. If chalitza, executed by the older brother, is preferred to the younger brothers, amai ain't shamila, why don't we listen to this claim? Ninter, let's wait. Dilma asiv chalitza, perhaps he'll come back, he'll do the chalitza. That's a better chalitza. V'tamech, according to your kasha, when it says, bekotan ashiyagdol. Let's wait for the cotton here to grow up. Ain't shamila, we don't listen to him. Amai, why? Ninter Dilma Gadol Miyab, let's wait for him to grow up, perhaps we'll even do a Yibum. Ella, there must be a special reason, which is Kol Shehu Yemitzvah LeShahinan. When it comes to doing a mitzvah, we seize the opportunity without delay. So it's unrelated to our question of which one's brother, the Chalitza of the Gadol or the Katan. Totally unrelated. So bottom line is, ideally, the older one does the Yibum or the Chalitza. What about if you have a choice between Yibum done by the Katan, I'm speaking about an adult, but he's the younger brother, versus the chalitza done by the gadol, according to version 1 in the Gemara, that was the machlekes. According to version 2, the machlekes pertain to chalitza, because when it comes to yibum, of course, the yibum of the katan is better, because yibum is the preferred option all along. But when we're faced with a choice of chalitza's gadol versus chalitza's katan, we have a machlekes. Okay, so on the topic of preferences, let's take a look at the next Gemara. Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah in Ksubais. Mitzvah Yibum Koidemes Le Mitzvah Chalitza. Yibum is preferred over Chalitza. That's in the olden days, but Rishonah in the early times, Shehayim Eskavenin L'Shem Mitzvah. They had pure intentions. They were trying to fulfill the mitzvah, and that's it. In that case, we say Yibum is better. But Achshav, nowadays, we had Yuridas HaDoiris. We're not on the same level. Shehayim Eskavenin L'Shem Mitzvah. We don't necessarily have those pure intentions and aren't necessarily motivated L'Shem Shemayim. They suspended Mitzvah Yibum, and they said, Amru, Mitzvahs chalitza, koidemes le mitzvahs yibum. Better do chalitza than yibum. Amar Rav ein koifin. Although we prefer chalitza, we don't force chalitza. So they decide they want to do yibum, and both Yavam and Yivam are happy with it. Go ahead and do it. In fact, you also come to Rav when the Yavam and Yivam would approach Rav. Amar he would tell them, he would give them a choice. Ibois, if you wish, chalitz do chalitza. Ibois, if you wish, yabim do yibum. Bididach talu rachmana rachmana. The Torah left it up to you. Vim lo yachbeitza ish. Pasuk says, if the man refuses to do yibum, he'll do chalitza. What does that sound like? Ha'im chafetz. Apparently, if he wishes, ibay chalitz, ibay yabem. He can do either chalitza or yibum. It's up to him. Rav Yehuda savar, ein koifin. Rav Yehuda as well, follow this path. You don't force them to do chalitza. Yibum is an open option. It's up to them. We recommend chalitza, but we can't enforce it. How do we know this? When they ask in Rabbi Yehuda Begita the Chalitza. You know, there's a get Chalitza. So when they do Chalitza, they record it in a document. And Rabbi Yehuda's text in his get Chalitza would say it follows. Eich Plenius Bar Pleni. Describing this Isha. Sarah Bas Yaakov, right? Akrivas, she brought along with her. Yas Pleni, Yavama. So-and-so her Yavam, right? Shimon the Yavam. Kadmana before us, lebeidino terbezn, v'ishtemoy de'inu, and it became clear to us, we verified, that in fact, da'achua de'misna, this fellow Shimon is the brother of the departed fellow, me'abanyu, who, you know, the share of father, so he's a true Yavam candidate, v'amrili, and we turned to him, we said, look, we offered him both options, eat sabis, if you wish, le'yabim, you can do yibim, eat sabis le'yabim, if you wish to do yibum, go ahead. Yabim, vimloi, but otherwise, itla la, a twist to her, extend to her, ragleich the yimina, your right foot. And in fact, that's what he did. Vitla la, ragle the yimina, he extended his right foot to her, visharas, and she untied, sine, those straps, mal ragloi, from his feet, and removed the shoe, of course, viyarkas, and she spit, ban poi, in front of him, Roika, spit, the mischazia, which was apparent and seen, the beidina to the bezin. Alara, and landed on the floor. Tezus says, landing on the floor is not a prerequisite. So that was his nusach. Clearly, he had a choice. Yibum or chalitza. Rav Chia bar Avya, misayimba, mishmeda Yehuda. Rav Chia had another addition to this nusach, in the name of Rav Yehuda, that they would actually add more. They would write at the end of Akrinu, and we read to him, we recited to him, Ma'idachsiv, Besefer, Reisad the Moshe, all the psukim contained in the Parsha and the Torah, which were meant to read to the Yavam, to the Yavama. Anyways, we have arrived from here. The Rav Yehuda subscribes to Rav Shita, that although perhaps we recommend Chalitza nowadays, but we don't force it. Now, we had almost a funny sounding word in this shtar, v'ishtemoydinu. What does that mean? They clarified, they verified, it became known to us that this fellow is the Yavam. How do we verify? Do we need Adam? Machlekes. Pligibod, the machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chadama one says, be'edim. You need two Adam to get up and say, look, Shimon is Reuven, the departed fellow's brother with whom he shared a father. Otherwise, he can't do any chalitza, any Yavam. V'chadama, the other one says, no, you don't need an Adas. Afilu Karev, Afilu Isha, even a relative can testify, even an Isha. Why? Vilchas and Halacha is that indeed Gluye Milsa Ba'almu, it's just a question of revealing his identity. It's not a direct testimony pertaining to, you know, Isurim or monetary issues. He's just identifying him, and it's something, in fact, that can be known and verified to all. It's Avida de Gluye, something that everybody knows will be revealed in the near future, or as some of Farshim learn. You're not directing your testimony at the din here. You're just speaking about an unrelated fact. This happens to be Shimon. Now, once we know that, we consider him a candidate for Yibam. And therefore, if afilu karev, afilu isha, any type of person, even a karev and isha, is to be believed. And here's the Gemara. So Barishon, in the early days, shoyim eskavna l'shem mitzvah, when they had proper intentions, mitzvah yibum kodemes l'mitzvah chalitza, we preferred yibum over chalitz. V'achshav, but nowadays, shoyim eskavna l'shem mitzvah, they no longer have that pure kavona. Omru chachamim decided that mitzvah chalitza kodemes l'mitzvah yibum, we recommend chalitza over yibum. Omar, Rabbi Barachom, Rabbi Yitzchak, but nowadays, things have changed again. Chazru Leimar, then they turned things around and they said, no, mitzvahs yibum, kodemes l'mitzvahs chalitza yibum, stands higher, and that is recommended. Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Nachman turns to him and says, Achshu Dari, you mean to say that people in today's generation stand higher, are greater tzaddikim than the previous generations? How can you claim as such? How can you say that we are able to do things that they couldn't do? Answers the Gemara, no, it's not based on that. Rather, it was a question of whose shita to follow. Mei kara, in the olden days, savri lo kabisho. The halacha adopted Abishol's approach, which is that yibum must be l'shem shemayim. And therefore it was dependent upon the ability, the madrega, righteousness of that dur. That was the original approach. But later on they switched around and the halacha adopted shitas rabbanon. Yibum is sanctioned in all cases. It doesn't have to be l'shem shemayim. This Sanya, where do we find this machlek? It's in a brayse. Abashol, aymer, akoynis is yibim toy. If one does yibum to yibam l'shem noy, with her beauty in mind, ulushom ishas, whether it's just that he can get married, ulushom davar achay is another ulterior motive, financial motive. In any case, it's not motivated by the mitzvah per se. That's terrible. Kilu poiger be'erva, it's as though he's getting involved with an erva. V'karoiv ani be'enai, and in my eyes, it's close. Liyos havlad mamzat, the child born from this type of relationship is a mamzat, it's as though he married an erva. It's almost like the yivam is really a sister-in-law. There's a special heter of the mitzvah sibum, if it's done with the right intentions, with the right mindset. That's Shitas Abashol, a stringent approach to Yibum. And that was the original approach, and therefore they said, look, while the Doiris were able to do this, fine, but otherwise, when things went downhill, we recommend Chalitz. But nowadays, we switched it back to the Chachamim, who hold that Kavana, although it is recommended, and certainly praiseworthy, but it's not a prerequisite, it's not a precondition to mitzvah sibum. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. Chacham Aimrim Yevama Yavei Aleha. That's the pasuk Mekal Malkim. In all circumstances, it's a valid and acceptable yibum. Regarding Mizman Azeh, the whole discussion in Tosis, how we pasken. He brings from Rabbi Natam that we still, even Mizman Azeh, we follow Abishol, that we should keep away from yibum unless the intentions are pure. And the Rabbi Chananel as well works with that, and I believe that's the minhag today, at least amongst the Ashkenazim, that unless they insist on doing Yibam, we recommend Chalitz. Okay, one last piece of a Gemara. Man Tana Lahad the Tana Rabban. Who's the author of the following brayse, which says, Yivamo Yavei Aleha? We learn from this pasuk that it's a mitzvah. The Gemara soon will explain the cryptic language of this brayse. Yivamo Yavei Aleha is a mitzvah. What does this mean? Shebet Tchila, because initially, before Rachel married Reuven, Hoysa Olav Bechlal Heter. So Rachel was Mutah to Shimon, right? She was unmarried. Nesra, once she got married to Reuven, she becomes Aser on Shimon. But once Reuven passes away, Bechazer Behutra, she becomes Mutah again. Yochol Tachzer Le'Teira Rishon. Perhaps she goes back to original Heter. We'll see soon what this means. Tamar Leimer, no. It's a limited Heter. Yevama Yavai Alea Mitzvah. Okay, what does this mean? Mantana, who's speaking here? Is this Abishol? Is this the Rabbanon? Omar Abitzel Bar Abdimi? Abishol. This is Abishol speaking. Vachakama, the Brisa means like this. The Pasuk says, Yivamo Yavei Aleha, mitzvah. What does mitzvah mean? That it has to be done l'shem mitzvah. That's a precondition to mitzvah sibum. And the Brisa explains, Shebetchila, because initially, Hayis Allah Bechal Heter. Rachel was Mutah to Shimon. She was unmarried. Ratzel l'shem noy koinsa. Ratzel l'shem ishas koinsa. You can marry her for any reason. Beauty, ishas, whatever it is. But once she married Reuven, the equation changes drastically. Nesra, once she marries Reuben, she becomes Asra to Shimon, and is only Mutter under some very specific circumstances. Chazer Behutra, once she becomes Mutter upon Reuben's passing, Yochal Tachzor L'Tei Rishon, perhaps she reverts back to original status as she's Mutter, irrespective of his Kavana. No. Tamad Loimar Yevama Yavai Alea L'Mitzvah. It has to be L'Shem Yivam. Yevama Yavai Alea L'Shem Mitzvah. Otherwise, you're playing with fire. Rava Amar No. Afilu Temer Rabbana. The Brisa can be interpreted even like the Rabbana. V'chakamar. The Brisa means like this. The Pasuk says Yevama Yavai Alea Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be Mihabim. Shebetchilo Aizah B'chal Heter. Before she married Reuben, she was Mutter to Shimon, but was up to him. There was no mitzvah to marry this specific isha. Ratza kainsa, if he wishes he marries her. Ratza einin kainsa, otherwise he doesn't marry. It's up to him. But now things change. Nasser, once she married Reuben, she becomes asur to Shimon. And then Reuben passes away. Chazer v'ruta, she becomes mutter again. Yochol tachzor l'tei rishon. Perhaps she goes back to original heter, which means it's his prerogative. Ratza kainsa, if he wishes he marries her. Ratza einin kainsa, if he doesn't want, he doesn't. What do you mean? Ratza einin kainsa, it's up to him. He doesn't have to marry her. Hagidabe, she's bound to him. She's his yevama. Bechdi tepo. You want her to just go free with nothing? Ela ema. Rather, mean like this. Ratsa koinsa, ratsa chayos. Perhaps it's up to him. He has an equal choice. He can do yevam. He can do chalitza. They're both on equal footing. There's no preference. No. No. Tamal lemar, yevama, yavi aleha. Mitzvah. Indeed, it is a mitzvah to do yevam over chalitz. That is Shitas Rabban. Okay, let's do a quick review of today's daf. We started with Astira in the Mishnah. In the Reisha, we had the Nechasim belonging to her. In the Seifa, there was a whole question. In fact, Bishame say Yachleiku. How does this work? We have Abaye who says, look, differences and the Reisha, the Shemeres Yavam, received the Nechasim in that state. So it's hers. In the Seifa, she got it when she was still married, so the Baal had a very strong hold, and that hold carries over to the Yavam. Rava's approaches, and the Reisha, Shemeres Yavam, has Nechasim, and there was no Mamar done between her and the Yavam, so it's hers. And the Sefer was speaking to his Mamar, in which case the Yavam takes hold, at least partially, of those Nechasim. We learned that after Yavam, she's considered a regular Isha, pertaining to two halachas. He divorces with a get, he can actually remarry her. When it comes to Ksuva, however, ideally, her claim is directed at the nechasim of her former husband. The gadol in the family is meant to do the yibam. Otherwise, we go down to the next one and down the line. We have a choice between chalitza of the gadol, yibam of the katan, or according to version 2 of the Gemara, chalitza of the gadol and chalitza of the katan. We have a machlekes. Abishol maintains, kavana plays a very central role in yibam. It has to be l'shem shemayim. Therefore, although in the early days we preferred chalitza, but later on we switched tracks and we start recommending yibam. However, according to Shitas Rabbanan, as much as kavana and Hashem Shemayim is great and is recommended, but it's not a prerequisite and therefore irrelevant of the madrega of the parties involved, yibam is preferred. Regarding halacha l'maisa, we seem to have a machlekes rishonim. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.